Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors will convene. May I have a report on close?
Yes, the board went into closed session on labor negotiations, from which both I and Assistant County Counsel Natalie Reed recused ourselves from the discussions. But I note that the board went into closed session at 2:20. It came out at 3 o'clock.
All right. I'm going to recess the board and convene the Flood Control Water Conservation District. Any public comment on the Flood Control and Conservation District?
Seeing none online.
Seeing none, and then item B, we're going to continue until January. Bring that back. We'll adjourn the Flood Control Water Conservation District.
Do you want that the first meeting in January or
somewhere
either?
January 4th.
The 4th? First, okay, thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to open a public hearing.
So we're back as the board, correct?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Reconvening as the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors. And I'm going to open a public meeting on Community Development Planning Division. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, staff report?
Staff report. So this is the Tyhurst zone change, and the project site is within the unincorporated community of McLeod, west of the intersection of Highway 89 and Timber Country Ranch Road. This project is a proposed rezone of 20.1 acres of a 42.6 acre parcel. Although this project site is a single legal parcel, it's split zoned for industrial, commercial, and non-prime agricultural uses. The applicant proposes to rezone all of the industrial to commercial, a portion of the commercial to rural residential, and a portion of the non-prime agricultural to rural residential. In conjunction with the zone change, the applicant is also proposing a vesting tentative parcel map to create four new parcels and a remainder from the same 42.6 acre parcel. This project was considered by the Planning Commission during their November meeting and resulted in a tentative approval of the tentative parcel map portion of the project and a recommendation of board approval for the CEQA and zone change portion of the project. Staff is also recommending that this project be found consistent with the zoning and general plan for the site and recommends the finding that this project is exempt from CEQA pursuant to section 15061B3 because there is not substantial evidence that the proposed rezone may have a significant effect on the environment. A comment regarding this project was received by planning staff from the Squaw Valley Writing Club. The applicant subsequently responded to the comments, and I believe both comments have been provided to you by the board clerk. Staff recommends approving the zone change and determining the project exempt from CEQA, and there is a recommended motion in the packet for this project. Thank you very much.
Okay. Presentation of correspondence, Wendy?
The two that Rachel mentioned from the Squaw Valley Writing Club as well as from Josh Tyhurst, those were emails that I received and forwarded to the board.
Do you have a copy of the one from Tyhurst, please?
Both of them there.
Thank you.
Reports, arguments, or evidence by other staff or county departments?
None online.
Opponents' arguments?
None online.
Opponents' arguments?
None online.
I'm going to go to public comments. Public comments on this particular item?
None online.
Rebuttal by proponents?
None online.
Rebuttal by opponents?
None online.
This will be in. Again in January, I think.
Yes.
So I'll go to the discussion of the board.
Just a quick question. So with regard to this letter that Tiger sent to the writing club, does this become part of the record future in case there's a change of ownership so that it's fairly clear, or how is that going to work?
So I believe that Mr. Tyhurst's letter stated that they would not be granting any, but that does not restrict any future property owners from granting an easement to the Riding Club. Currently, there is there are actually three different modes of egress from the Riding Club. One is to Highway 89, which is directly to their property. There is a second easement that it parallels Highway 89 and it heads due west towards the it used to be the Dance Country RV Park and now it's McLeod RV Park. And then on the west side of the property there is an existing 30-foot easement that follows the western boundary line of the Riding Club property, and then it veers southwest and it heads to another piece of property that way. So that 30-foot easement, nothing's changing on it as far as it being removed, except for that a portion of it is actually being expanded to a 40-foot easement. Those are the only easements to the Riding Club property that are on the map that was tentatively approved by the Planning Commission last month.
So it will be part of the map?
There are easements that are part of the map. I don't know if the easements that are part of the map are the ones that the Riding Club was speaking to. There may be, you know, it could be that they use other portions of the property that don't have formal easements. I'm unaware of, they didn't describe where they actually crossed.
No, I know. I noticed that there wasn't a map of it. But was there anything to the east?
No, not on the tentative parcel map.
Okay. Okay, it looks like it's problem solved. I just want to make sure, because...
Yeah, and when the Riding Club emailed us, I actually responded and let them know of what the easements were that were on there and let them know that 30-foot easement's actually going to be widened as part of this project.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that was my only question was, I saw Josh Tyler's email was December 13th.
Yesterday.
So, there it is.
Yesterday. Yeah.
So the way I view it is if there's any cleanup, we'll have a second reading if there's something that we missed or something like that.
I'm sorry, say that again?
The way I view it, this will be a second reading. So,
didn't hear you.
It'll be a second reading.
Yeah.
Not your fault, no.
Sorry.
There'll be a second reading for this one.
Yes.
And then if we have to do anything. So I'd like to hear back from them just to confirm and everything.
You would like to hear back from the Riding Club?
Riding Club, yeah. Just,
okay,
just
I'll let them know.
So there's no assumptions.
Okay, I will let them know that you were requesting a response to Mr. Tyhurst's comment.
Yeah.
I don't know that they received that comment.
Okay.
I'll have to check my email and see if it got forwarded to them.
Yeah, I don't want to move forward on assumptions.
Okay.
But I see that the Planning Commission voted 4-0.
Yep.
For a motion from the board, if there's no further discussion.
So moved.
Second.
And that's the recommended, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. And January 4th? We should be able to do the second reading on the 4th.
Okay.
Okay. Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela. No? He's out? I didn't know that.
Good job, Rachel.
Supervisor
Good job,
Ogren.
Rachel.
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Can I clarify, is Supervisor Valenzuela go on the rest of the day?
Yes.
The rest of the
meeting?
He had
to go to LTC.
2:55 is when he left. Thank you very much.
All right, next public hearing is the Tule Lake Subbasin Groundwater Sustainability Plan. And Parker, are you probably got some people online finally too?
Yes, good afternoon, Matt Parker, Natural Resources. Today's hearing to adopt or ask for recommended adoption for the Tule Lake Groundwater Sustainability Plan. The staff report will come from their consultants, and I'll let Kyle introduce himself as Elizabeth's getting connected.
Kyle, can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Good afternoon, all. Thank you. Will you be loading the presentation on the screen, or should I share my screen?
I have shared the screen already. Can you see it?
I cannot, but maybe that's on my end. If you all can see it, I have it up in front of me on a separate screen. I can just speak from that.
Okay.
That works.
Okay. That works, because yeah, we have it on ours, and it shows that it's sharing on ours.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks again for having us here today. We were here, I think, a little over a month ago to provide an update on the plan when it was in its public draft format. And we have since wrapped up the public comment period, and we're back here today to give you that final update, like Matt said, and ask for adoption. So next slide, or slide two, hopefully shows an overview of this presentation. Since we've discussed this before, I'll briefly go over some of the high points, like the Two Lakes sub-basin, and who the groundwater sustainability agencies are, the GSAs. The sub-basin conditions, public comments received, and then the timeline, the submittal and implementation. So next slide, please. Oh, now I'm seeing the screen.
Great, okay.
So yeah, description of the area. So the plan covers that black hatched area, the Tule Lake area, sub-basin. But as we all, I believe, know, it's part of a much larger basin, the Klamath Basin. And the surface water supply is dependent on the Klamath Project, a Bureau of Reclamation project that's located, the Upper Klamath Lake is located in Oregon. It's an isolated sub-basin in terms of SGMA and the California side, which means there's no immediately adjacent other sub-basins. Fairly stable population, and majority of the land use within the Two Lakes sub-basin is agriculture. Next slide, please. So there's four main players, or GSAs, the Two Lake Irrigation District, which is the light blue area. Then there's the city of Two Lake, the small triangular-ish yellow area. And then Modoc and Siskiyou counties picked up the rest of the area, which were the sometimes referred to as white areas in SGMA. So they picked up the rest of the area that's not covered by Two Lake Irrigation District and City of Two Lake. And then the four GSAs entered into a memorandum of understanding as part of this GSP process. Next slide, please. So part of the plan, this is a slide that I showed before at our prior discussion, is to look at conditions within the sub-basin and the data that's been collected over the years at monitoring wells, groundwater monitoring wells. And as you can see, there is a slight decline starting in about the 2000s in some of these wells. That's really when the Klamath Project started to crank down on the amount of surface water supply that was provided to the Klamath Project, including Tule Lake Irrigation District. But what was really interesting to us, and you can kind of see in that top left hydrograph, and I apologize, these aren't meant to be seen very closely, so the numbers aren't very legible. That's not the point, it's just to be able to see those blue lines. So what's interesting is the past about 5 years, there's been reached almost a new equilibrium within the sub-basin, and so that was just an interesting point for us to come across as part of this process. Next slide, please. Another part of the GSP is looking at the historical water budget and identifying the sustainable yield for the Two Lakes sub-basin. Which in this case, it's circled in blue, 48,000 acre feet. And that would be the average annual pumping. And so some years would be more than that, and some years would be less than that, just depending on hydrology and surface water supply from the project. And then at the bottom Circled in red is the overall change in groundwater storage over this period, negative 4,000 acre feet, which really, it's such a small number that it's really, I would say, within the noise of all the data and the model modeling effort. Next slide, please. So these are the same values, but more in a visual format. What I'd like to direct your attention to here is first the light gray line, which, as you can see, it kind of hovers around the horizontal x-axis, and that's the annual change in groundwater storage. So like I was saying, sometimes it's in the positive and it goes above the line, and sometimes it goes below, but really it tends to stay right around the zero axis, which is a sign of sustainability within the basin based on current operations. And then the black line is the cumulative change in groundwater storage. And although there is a decline from the beginning of this chart, the year 2000, to the end, where we projected all the way out with climate change, sigma only applies to January 1, 2015, when the law was signed, and onward. So you don't have to go back in time and fix issues that were observed prior to that time. And so if you focus in on 2015 through 2070, there isn't that decline. It's more stable, as we've seen with the light gray line. Next slide, please. And so we released the draft plan to the public and received comments through November 12th. I think the last time I was here was November 2nd, so we were still kind of right in the middle of that comment period. There were, I believe, five main commenters, and then about, in total, about 40 comments. So DFW, as shown here, was a commenter, as well as a consortium of NGOs, and Jim Cook, who's associated with Newell County Water District. And there are also two comment letters received prior to the release of the public draft from Felice Pace and Doreen Smith. In addition to these, we were made aware of an additional comment letter from Ms. Jackie Criso that was submitted to Modoc County. And that was, it was submitted within the public comment period, prior to the public comment period deadline. However, since we were just made aware of it after the release of this draft GSP for your packet, it hasn't been incorporated. And so Matt will address that when he gets to the adoption. Next slide, please. And so of those 40 or so comments, they really focused in on four main areas: interconnected surface waters, groundwater-dependent ecosystems, disadvantaged communities, and then Jim Cook's comment letter focused on coordination with Newell County Water District. And so with all of these, we really appreciated the comments. We think that after reviewing them, we've made the plan a more robust plan. We've really built out some of the projects and management actions to address some of the items brought up in these comments, the data gaps. And so we think that the plan has only become stronger after this public comment period. Next slide, please. So next steps, right now is adoption day. Modoc County and Two Lake Irrigation District have already gone through this process today. And as you guys know, I'm here now for Siskiyou County, and then we are headed to City of Two Lake tonight for their adoption. And so after that, we will finalize it and upload it to California DWR's website prior to the January 31, 2022 deadline. And then as part of the Sigma regulations, there are annual reports starting with this year, or this upcoming year, April 1, 2022. And then there's five-year plan updates every 5 years. And during those 5 years, annual reports are not required. Next slide, please. as part of the GSP, it was required to identify implementation efforts and associated costs with those. As detailed in the plan, the modeling shows that has shown that the sub-basin is currently operated in a sustainable manner, and therefore projects management actions may have not been required. However, we thought it was good to outline some so that the basin could continue to be managed sustainably. And so a lot of these here have not been fully thought out and developed with cost estimates, just because they will be on an as-needed basis and as funding is available. Because as noted in the plan, both Siskiyou County and Modoc County are identified as disadvantaged communities or severely disadvantaged communities by DWR. And then finally, as the last bullet shows here, if needed, as part of the, as identified in the MOU and allowed for under the SGMA regulations, GSAs may impose fees to cover implementation costs as needed. Last slide, please. So for any additional information, please feel free to reach out to us, either myself, Kyle Knudsen, or my coworker, Angela Bizzoni. We also have a general Gmail that you can email to lakesigma@gmail.com. Please go to the Two Lake ID website. You can sign up there to become an interested person, where we send out email blasts on any kind of updates, from everything from agendas to plan releases. And with that, that is the end of my presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any questions to Kyle?
Not yet.
Sorry.
Gotta go through this protocol. Correspondence, when?
Nothing that's been received at the clerk's office.
Okay. Other reports, arguments, or evidence by staff or other agencies?
None online.
Opponents' arguments?
None online.
Opponents' arguments?
None online.
Public comment?
None online.
Rebuttal by opponents?
None online.
Rebuttal by opponents?
None online.
And closing this hearing, I believe.
Yep.
Okay. Bring it back to the board.
Thank you, Mr. Parker. Did we include juniper tree removal as part of this plan? I know we talked about it last meeting.
That might be a better question for Kyle in terms of how that project might be within their bucket of projects.
Right. Is Mr. Kyle still on?
He is. Kyle, can you hear us?
Excuse me. Yes, I can, but I didn't catch the question.
No problem. Is there any, I know for the Medicine Lake Highlands and those areas, there's been fires up there. Has there been any included in the plan juniper tree removal in the upper watersheds?
No, there was not that project identified within the plan.
All right. And then is it Station 48 that sends Lost River down to the lake?
That's correct.
Okay, and I remember that was in the plan last time because the Lost River technically and historically always was the water source for the actual Tula Lake. So so for surface water, that would be part of this plan is all the water that can be flowed, not diverted to the Klamath, but down to the refuge or the Tula Lake area would be flowed down there.
Yes, that's correct. That has been identified as a project or management action within the plan to operate Station 48 more consistent with history, where it would send Lost River down to Tule Lake.
All right. That's my other questions. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Collin.
So, the only question I have, unintended consequences, I guess, here. The going forward, if we continue to see the sumps not filled, what does that do to this plan? What's the, I guess, the effect?
That would be, again, a question for Kyle. Kyle, did you catch all that?
Yes, I believe so. Let me restate just so I make sure I understand. So if the two-leg sumps are not filled in the future, like this year, what is the impact on the plan?
Correct.
Thank you. Yeah, great question. So the, as you may know, the two-leg sumps are operated to the biological opinion in coordination with reclamation, and so that is outside the jurisdiction of this plan, essentially the operation of the sumps. However, why it's such a great question is because, as you likely know, that area is very dependent on recharge from canals and from the sumps. And so if there's not that standing water within the sumps, then there's going to be less recharge into the subbasin. And so that's where we would see impacts on potential sustainability in that area.
Thank you.
But doesn't that create kind of the man-made problem versus natural? And how do we fend that it's sustainable without that water?
Yes, that it is more of a man-made or outside of our control action that is taken by reclamation, whether it's not providing water to the sumps or not providing water to the district in general. And so it'll be a very key component in the first annual report where we identify some of the issues that have been seen this year and frankly last year as well with operation of the project and how that's impacting the plan.
So can the plan fail without that water?
I don't know if I have the answer to that question.
You can give it to me later. Thank you.
If there's no further questions of the board, I'm looking for a motion here.
Through the chair, I do believe, it's for council that the motion would need to include adding the additional comments from Ms. Carrizo that were added. They're provided to the team after the plan was released, so I just wanted to make that known that that needs to be included in the motion.
How do you spell the name?
I believe it's K-R-I-Z-O. Kyle, can you correct me if that's incorrect?
There's an H in there, I think.
Yeah, we should add that into the motion.
So, what you're wanting me, excuse me, to add is the comments of correspondence, not as a revision.
Correct, just as comments to be included as part of the public comment appendix in the plan.
Okay. Duly noted for the words.
And did we get the correct spelling of the name?
Oh.
I wish he doesn't know.
J-A-C-Q-U-I-K-R-I-Z-O, I think.
That's what I have in an email. Okay. Kyle, do you know if that's correct?
She's a resident of just across the county line in Monaco.
Yeah.
He said correct.
Correct.
Anyway, it was K-R-I-Z-O.
Correct.
Okay.
With that, I'll make the motion, including the addition of Ms. Pizzo's comments.
Second. Motion and second, Wendy.
Okay. Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
Supervisor Help.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you.
I have three things left on the open agenda. I'm going to go to item 10A, emergency related to proliferation of illegal cannabis.
So moved to extend.
Second.
Motion and a second. Wendy.
Okay, Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
Aye.
Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Thank you.
10B is the emergency related to catastrophic wildfire. I'm not sure what, I don't recall everything that's in this. Does this also include recovery or just the explosive conditions of the woods?
You're asking what?
Well, I'm asking if we're extending or if this is, needs to go away for a while.
I believe we just need to extend.
What's that?
Extend.
Move. To extend.
Move to extend.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll second. Or unless the chair wants to.
Okay.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Hill?
Aye. Next is 10C, drought related emergency. I'm reluctant to say yes on this. I'm just flat out telling you, I mean, we've got checking the weather forecast. Looks like we've got another 2 to 3 weeks of snow, and we've already had considerable amount. Scott River's well over 100 CFS.
But so, do have dry wells going on right now, and I don't know if OES needs something like this in place.
In place for those.
Yeah, I've asked that question multiple times. I don't get a very good answer back what this is tied to from a funding standpoint.
I'm just requesting that we do extend it. We could revisit this on January 4th,
okay,
if possible.
Come dig me out.
If it'd be all right with the chair to start, if we could have those questions answered, because I know you've asked those in the past. So
yeah,
it feels fine to get them answered.
Right. And I think I've asked those of staff. I don't use so much Angela, but of staff, and I don't get it. Actually, I get crickets.
Oh, okay.
It'd be nice to know yet.
Yeah, because I
don't want to use.
I don't want to overextend this thing, but then again, I don't want to decouple
right.
Solar services being able to get grants and reimbursement.
I have a question. Do you want to bring it back in this format before the 60 days, which is what the clerk's office normally does? Bring this back on the 4th to
yes,
think
please.
About it one more time.
Yes, please, Wendy. Okay. January 4th,
okay.
Prior to the 60 days.
I will make a note.
I would so move to extend with all the considerations that I discussed.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseth?
Aye.
Supervisor, I want to say Valenzuela. Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Help?
Aye. So, with that, we're going to go back into closed session.